of the international news.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The field is now set for the round of 16 at the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Cameroon. And let's give a big Sunny Side of Sports salute to the teams from Comoros and Gambia. They both reached the knockout stage in their Nations Cup debuts. And let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Flames of Malawi, who reached the round of 16 for the first time. Those three teams are my surprise packages for the knockout stage: Comoros, Gambia, and Malawi. Joining us now from Cameroon with another spicy package of Nations Cup news is Samson Omale. Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Samson.
Sporty Nations Cup greetings to you, Sonny. It's rest day at the 33rd edition of the African Cup of Nations after 13 days of non-stop football. The lineup for the group of 16 has been confirmed following the conclusion of group matches on Thursday. Before we take a look at the pairings of the second round, the final day of group matches saw drama and shocking exits. Topmost was the thrashing of title holders Algeria by Ivory Coast as Nicolas Pepe scored a superb solo goal as Ivorians thumped Algeria 3-1 to send the defending champions crashing out of the African Cup of Nations finals. Algeria's 35-game unbeaten run was ended by Equatorial Guinea in a stunning upset in their last match, and they were outplayed again by the impressive Ivorians, who might have had more goals with better finishing. Coach Jamel Belmadi, in his post-match conference, said his team never took their chances right from the start of the competition.
I'm not sure I would say we're facing a crisis. We've failed, that's for sure. The team's disappointed, despondent, perhaps confused. It's something we're not used to. Losing is something we've never experienced. We've never lost. In 4 days, we lost. We did something in 4 days. But we haven't done it in 3 years. It's obviously a shock for us.
C'est quelque chose évidemment de choquant chez nous.
Mali finished top of Group F after a 2-0 win over West African neighbors Mauritania in their late game in Douala, with Masiado Hadara giving them a second-minute lead before Ibrahim Kone added a penalty early in the second half. It was a third successful penalty in as many games for Norway-based striker Kone, as Mauritania go home without a point or a goal. Malian right back Hamari Tauri says their aim is to improve with each game.
For now, I'm happy for the team. The football we propose, we play, I think is not bad.
Elsewhere, tournament debutant Gambia had already sealed a place in the knockout phase before claiming a remarkable 1-0 win over Tunisia in the last group match in Limbe. Tunisia were deprived of 12 players who had tested positive for COVID-19 on the eve of the game, including star man Wahib Hazri, and they had to settle for advancing as one of the four best third-place teams. Abile Jallo's goal deep in injury time gave Gambia the victory, and they will now play Guinea in the last 16 in Bafoussam on Monday. Tom Semfeld is coach for the Warriors of Gambia.
We know if you are 3 weeks, 4 weeks in camp, you need players who are ready to cope with each other, who can laugh, have fun, can dance, and also fight together. So for us, it was very important to have a very balanced team.
In the other game, Sierra Leone's veteran striker Keke Kamara missed a late penalty to end their chances of reaching the next round of the African Cup of Nations as they lost 1-0 to Equatorial Guinea on Thursday. Head coach John Kester says the tactical changes he made was to increase their chances of winning the game.
Well, you can't say it's a fault, because we wanted to condense our midfield a little bit, because against Ivory Coast, I think we had a little bit around the midfield, you know, so we brought him on. But then again, we wanted to go forward because we was losing 1-0. So we wanted to bring another attacker in. So we had to sacrifice another player. That's what it was about. So these are all tactical stuff. But the 27 is played most of my qualifiers before we qualified. But when a group is doing well, you can't keep changing players, can you?
So, Burkina Faso, Gabon, Nigeria, Tunisia, Guinea, Gambia, host Cameroon, Comoros, Senegal, Cape Verde, Morocco, Malawi, Cote d'Ivoire, Egypt, Mali, Equatorial Guinea are the teams that have qualified for the round of 16. To take a look at the pairings for the second round, I sat down with two journalists, Joseph Atewe and Adebayo Ademiton, covering the 2021 AFCON here in Cameroon, and they share some interesting thoughts on the second round fixtures. The first of the series of second round game on Sunday will see Burkina Faso and Gabon playing for a spot in the quarterfinals.
What Burkina Faso has done so far in this tournament is not a surprise to me. If you look at the first game against the opening game against Cameroon, you know, they just lost one or two details and they almost shocked the hosts. They are now in the knockout stage of the competition. I feel the Italians should go through to the quarterfinals.
Nigeria versus Tunisia.
I'm looking at Nigeria-Tunisia, a very difficult game. But then Nigeria's got home support here. Gao has been like a home ground for Nigeria, and that is what they'll be enjoying, considering the fact that the only team, if I'm correct, to have qualified with 9 points. So Nigeria needs to be wary of the Tunisians.
Guinea versus Gambia. The Gambians are debutants in this tournament. What do you think?
For me, it's a good generation of the Gambian team, the likes of Baru, the likes of Utsmani, the likes of Mohamed, you know, they've carried that team along. You know, they almost took Mali to the cleaners in the second game of Group F competition. But last night, they were so what Sanfien has done to the Gambian team. I feel it's a tricky game. And I think the fans might not like what I want to say, but I think Gambia should go through.
For Cameroon and Comoros, a tiny nation in Comoros, knocked out the Blacks. That's the unthinkable they did. That will give them an edge. That has give them a lift going into the knockout stage. But then they take on the hosts, which will be very difficult. They will have everyone behind them. Talking about Cameroon, Abubakar Vincent will want to do the magic he did at the African Cup of the group stages of the competition. Is the highest goal scorer as we speak. So 90-10, it will be Cameroon to scale through.
Senegal, the highest ranked team in Africa, against Cape Verde, another small island. What do you make of that?
Senegal have not scored from open play, so it's a bit of concern for Aliou Cisse and the Teranga Lions' hope in this tournament. They've not really gotten it, and they had to score from penalty against Zimbabwe in the first game, and the second and third game they were not really convincing. And for Aliou Cisse, you know, he has been in this kind of situation before under this kind of pressure at the Olympic Games and at the last African Cup of Nations. I believe he has all the memories and experience to tinker the Teranga Lions to a win over the Cape Verdeans.
Moving to Morocco, Malawi. For Morocco, another difficult game. Malawi, well, you want to look at the name and say Malawi might not have what it takes to, you know, defeat Morocco. But then this competition has taught us that, see, if you don't play to your best, you get knocked out, you get embarrassed on the pitch of play. So Morocco, I would say Morocco will go through, but then they still need to be careful. They need to bring in their best at this stage.
What about Ivory Coast versus Egypt? A lot of people have talked about the fact that that would be the game to look out for in the second round. Do you agree?
Surely that is the star match. I won't even miss it. I can miss my dinner to see that game. I must not miss that game, because for me, the AFCON has now begun.
A big game. Forget the way Egypt played throughout the group stages. Forget the way Ivory Coast has been very impressive. They knocked out Algeria convincingly. I think it's going to be the game of this round.
And then another West African derby. It will be Mali versus Equatorial Guinea.
Mali have a local coach, and the coach has really done a good job. You know, look at the qualifiers. They went, the World Cup qualifiers, they went unbeaten. The AFCON qualifiers, they went unbeaten, even against the big guns on the continent. And Mali have a quality side to match anybody in this tournament. The Eagles of Mali should nick this.
After watching the Malians play yesterday, it's a maximum 3 points. It's Mali through to the quarterfinals.
Staying with stories related to the African Cup of Nations, the Ghana Football Association president, Kurt Okraku, says he accepts the blame for the Black Stars' poor performance at the 2021 African Cup of Nations. Ghana exited the competition on Tuesday following their 3-2 loss to Comoros at the Ramdi Aija Stadium, resulting in the team finishing a campaign with just 1 point and languishing bottom in Group C behind Morocco, Gabon and Comoros. The Ghana Football Association president now says he should be given the blame for the team's poor showing in Cameroon. And finally, former Cameroon Indomitable Lions captain Rigobert Song and Super Eagles former great Emmanuel Amuneke were the draw assistants at the African Cup of Nations Cote d'Ivoire 2023 preliminary round draw on Friday in Douala. Friday's draw was the first step towards the 34th edition of the Total African Cup of Nations Cote d'Ivoire 2023.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale reporting from Garoua, Cameroon, with another spicy package of Africa Cup of Nations football news.
Sporting greetings. This is William Chosekong from Watford Football Club and Nigeria Super Eagles. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, William. William and the Super Eagles of Nigeria will next play the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia on Sunday in a round of 16 match in Cameroon. What do you expect from the Tunisians? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to Super Eagles assistant coach Terry Egwaje.
Yes, we expect the Tunisians to come out aggressive on Sunday against the Super Eagles in an attempt for them to get into the quarterfinals. I know they will leave no stone unturned. They will bring in their best efforts as a team against us. There's no doubt about that. However, we as the Super Eagles, we're ready for them. We have made our plans and our strategy as to how we will handle them on Sunday. And ultimately, I believe we have the personnel and the skill to be victorious on Sunday.
Coach, how would you describe the style of the Tunisian national team?
We have studied and still studying the Tunisian style of play, the three games that they have played and the previous two games that they played during the World Cup qualifying series. So who knows what's going to happen on Sunday? Who knows what style or what system of play they're going to have on Sunday? But the good news is that we as a technical crew, we are aware of the various formations and style that they would come up with. And we are also happy that we have players that understand all of those systems and that could play against them come Sunday. For what we saw in the last game, they like to play between the lines for the most part, and it's something that we've talked about and worked on in practice, and I'm sure we'll be able to handle that. But again, we'll see what they come up with on Sunday, and then we'll deal with it.
8 new faces made the Super Eagles roster in the game against Guinea-Bissau. What's your take on their performances?
Yes, yeah, we certainly feel that the changes we made to the team against Guinea-Bissau was the right one. We needed to be sure of the abilities of our players, especially those that did not play the first two games or those that came in at substitutes. So we thought their performance was good. I mean, obviously, we have some work to do in some areas. Yeah, yes. So we will work on those areas. But overall, we are happy. We got two goals. And you can ask for more from the boys. Ultimately, football is about winning. And we did win. And we're happy about that.
Among the 8 players, did anyone stand out in his game against Guinea-Bissau?
Yes, among the 8 players that we added for the game against Guinea-Bissau, there were a few players there that stood out that played very well. I would hate to call names because I believe that football is a team sport, and I want to be able to give credit to the entire team, not particularly to individual players. But we are very happy with the performance overall of each and every one of those 8 players that came in, because they all came in and have different strengths and maybe some challenges along the way. But that's for us as coaches to work on, to make sure that we have better performance going forward into the knockout stages.
Coach, what has been the mood in the camp ahead of the round of 16 games?
Yes, the mood in the camp here in Cameroon has been fantastic. Great environment. We are safe, secure, and no distraction whatsoever. And thanks to NFF, Pinnick Amaju there for making sure we are getting everything that we need. Special thanks to, of course, Dr. Sanusi, the General Secretary of the NFF, for absolutely making sure that we are happy and comfortable. The players are happy and comfortable. So the mood here is that of victory. We are looking forward to bringing this trophy home to Nigerians, and the boys are focused on that. We, as coaching staff, we are focused on that. And the mood here is very nice. We are getting all the support and prayers from Nigerians back home. And hopefully we will be victorious at the end of the tournament. And I wouldn't want to forget the Minister of Youth and Sports, Honorable Sunday Dare there. He has been very supportive as well, and his leadership has been spot on. So I want to thank you all for the support that you give to us and to the Super Eagles.
That's Terry Egwuaje, the assistant coach of Nigeria's national men's football team, the Super Eagles. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Garowa, Cameroon.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Dare, Minister of Youth and Sports Development, Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Football fans across Africa have been enjoying the 33rd Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. Joining us now from Kampala, Uganda, with reaction to the big event is Magume Davis Rakawinj. Sporty Friday greetings, Magume.
Sporty Friday greetings to Tusani and our listeners. Ethiopia and Sudan, the Council for East and Central Africa Football Association SECAFA representatives at this year's African Cup of Nations Dreams ended in preliminary round with a point each take home. Daniel Mulimuka, a Tanzanian sports analyst, says he's nonetheless impressed with Ethiopia Warriors' performance in Group A alongside Giants and host Cameroon, Burkina Faso and Cape Verde.
I think they were a bit unlucky in some of the games. In their first game, they had an early red card, which limited them to achieve what they wanted to achieve against Cape Verde. But despite them being 10 men compared to 11 of Cape Verde, they were still alive. They still wanted to win the game. So for me, the attitude of the players was a very positive indicator.
He says the Ethiopians will use this experience to able to compete in future competitions. Ethiopia were founding members of the tournament alongside Sudan and Egypt and are 1962 winners. Nonetheless, the SECAFA representatives another regular at the AFCON finals. Rwanda sports reporter Felix Gakuba Romario says he's impressed with Minos Redion, who amassed an impressive 2 points, a point ahead of defending champions Algeria, who were dumped out of the competition.
The way they fight for the ball, the win, they've been winning each and every ball, but their fighting spirit, their commitment on the pitch shows that there's no team in an African Cup of Nations that you can take lightly. Another big team that has actually not done well is Senegal, given, you know the players they have, the stars in various leagues in Europe, the likes of Mane, but it's a shame since the tournament started, they have just scored only one goal. You know, it's a shame.
Cote d'Ivoire, with 7 points, finished as Group E winners alongside Equatorial Guinea, who had 6 points. Romario says he loved the dramatic game in which group leaders conceded the final minute goal against Sierra Leone for the game to end 2-2. Leo Fuganeza is a Burundi sports journalist based in Bujumbura.
The major highlight match for me is Nigeria against Egypt. It was a very good match where people showed very high performances. Yeah, that for me is Nigeria against Egypt, 1-0 for Nigeria. During this AFCON up to now, we've seen many surprising things, like the big football nations like Ghana, which has been eliminated, Algeria.
Leon Senyange, a sports analyst and reporter in Kampala, says he's equally elated with the performances of the so-called soccer minnows.
There have been some performances that a telling of improved quality of African football. Teams like Sierra Leone have put on a very good show. Gambia has performed extraordinarily well. Malawi itself there, you know, putting on a very good performance and making it to the next round. Absolutely, these are the kind of things that we didn't quite expect in the competition this time round. So yes, from beyond just the teams that were expected to, you know, put up the very big performances, these ones were really exceptional on my side.
And this is what some fans here say about the ongoing AFCON finals in Cameroon.
I'm called Suleiman Mlondo from Uganda. Yeah, I'm supporting Nigeria in the AFCON. Nigeria is the only team that has been qualifying several times in the AFCON. It's among the countries which leads and they are playing well.
I support Senegal because of Sadio Mane, because he plays for Liverpool, which I support. So I'm hoping Senegal will reach the semi-finals because there are some other stronger teams like Nigeria. First of all, what impressed me was a female referee. I was amused about seeing a female referee in the AFCON. And the appearance of VAR. And another thing that has amused me very well, it is how these bigger teams have been beaten up by underdogs. Most of the big dogs have lost by underdogs. For example, Algeria, you see Egypt, they are struggling.
My name is Fiston. I'm an artist, I'm a musician, but I'm Congolese. I'm not happy because Uganda is not there. Even Rwanda is not there. Even Tanzania is not there. Also Congo, my country, is not there. Africa is one, but I'm not happy just because I have my team I like is not there.
I'm Colgate because I'm from South Sudan. What interested me most is that the AFCON can unite Africans. It makes a unity among Africans. And it is good for Africans to enjoy themselves, to enjoy what they are doing. Because it unites African, and we really enjoy it.
My name is Joshua Oluwalano. I'm a Nigerian. I live in Kampala, Uganda. So I'm supporting Nigeria, not just because it's my country. I'm supporting Nigeria because I've never seen this type of game plan with them since my whole life. Like, I've never seen them play like this. They're playing their best. They're not playing like Nigeria of before. Like, they're playing without fear and confidence. So, and the cup is for them. No argument.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume. Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. I really enjoyed that Nations Cup feature. From Uganda, let's go to South Sudan, which recently held a Peace Olympics to help reconcile communities divided by conflict. Sheila Pony reports from Twitch County, South Sudan.
A spiritual leader blesses athletes to protect them from injury, while a goat represents the belief that power comes from nature. This is not the Winter Olympics in Beijing. It's the Twitch Olympics in northern South Sudan. The annual 2 weeks of games in January attracts athletes from 6 communities to compete in traditional Olympic and team sports. The aim, to reduce communal conflict. Volleyball player Ring Agwekring knows the violence firsthand. In May, they came to raid our cattle, and in the process of protecting them, he says, Agwekring was shot, but he succeeded in getting his cows back. He says he is in the games as an injured person, but can still play because he thinks the game is a unifying factor that promotes peace among ourselves and the community. Organizers say more than 700 young men and women participated in this year's games. One participant, Susan Achol, talks about the importance of the event and the impact sports can have on their communities.
We can just all be together, so at least we can't think of war, or we can't say that guy is from another clan or something like that. We just cooperate and we play as one team.
Against the sound of appreciative fans and competition, Twitch Olympics founder Achuel Bangol explains the mission of the Games and the organization he founded more than 20 years ago.
The Twitch Olympic Association is not a program. It is identity. It has its mission, and its mission is going to be sport for peace and giving chance to children to grow. Peace does not come without agenda. You cannot tell people to remain peaceful without them being active on something that is keeping them away from bad activities. You're building another avenue of communicating and interacting with youth.
South Sudan enters its 11th year of independence, challenged on many levels. Chola Jing, Secretary General of the Twitch Olympic Association, says it is clear that sports cut across barriers that divide communities. He says it allows the youth to become better citizens in the country they have inherited.
You know, like in South Sudan, the crisis of 2013 and 16 was fueled up because the young people responded. Now, what about if young people get engaged in activities like this and do not think about joining the politicians and fuel the war? Because we're being misused by the politicians. So the youth has to fight for their own interests, and when they get what they want, they go back and forget about us. But we can call this our own. We can also attract them to come so that we move this nation forward.
The South Sudanese athletes prefer tug of war and are urging those still fighting real battles to drop their weapons. Angelo Goleng Garang, a former football player, is one of them.
Once you are participating in the games, I will come to know you, and you will also come to know me. That enmity that exists between us will erase.
He urged others to join in the glory of sport. Sheila Aponi for VOA News, Twitch Mayardit, South Sudan.
Thanks, Sheila. Now let's go to Melbourne, where Craig Gabriel has an update for us on day 5 at the Australian Open tennis tournament.
When the draw was released for the Australian Open a week ago, a few matches or potential encounters stood out. One was a possible fourth round clash between world number one Ash Barty and defending champion Naomi Osaka. Only one upheld their part of the bargain, and it wasn't the defending champion. But it wasn't as if she was outplayed. In fact, Osaka had 2 match points in the third set as she exchanged returns with Amanda Anisimova. The American, who's now working with famed coach Darren Cahill, maintained her composure following such instructions given to her by Cahill. She ended up winning 4-6, 6-3, 7-6. Let's first hear from Anisimova and then Osaka, who was trying to be philosophical.
I just want to soak in this moment. I'm just extremely happy. It was an amazing match. It was very close, so, you know, there were a bit of nerves. And to play Naomi for the first time, it's unreal, honestly. So I'm just really happy with the win today. And, yeah, it sucks we couldn't both win today because these matches are hard. And, honestly, I think she's a very nice girl, so these days are kind of tough. Yeah, I'm just really happy in the end.
I fought for every point. I can't be sad about that, you know, like, I'm not God. I can't win every match, you know? So I just have to, like, take that into account and know that it would be nice to win the tournament, but that's, like, really special, you know? And I can't, think of myself to try to win the Grand Slam at the start of the year every time. And for me, I feel like I grew a lot in this match. The last match that I played in New York, I think I had a completely different attitude. So I'm really happy with, you know, of course I lost, but I'm happy with how it went.
Earlier, Barty had beaten Italian Camilla Giorgi, and it was another straightforward result. It was 61 minutes, and the score was 6-2, 6-3. She's lost a total of 8 games in 3 matches. It was put to her that the anticipation was Osaka that she would play.
My expectation was whoever it would be. I mean, each match is uncertain. Each match of tennis, there are no certainties. You have no idea what's going to happen. You just have to navigate your way through as best you can in that given moment. And I've done a good job of that this week, and now it's exciting that I get to face to get to play Amanda again. We've played before, and it'll be nice to play each other again in a big match.
The day started with Vika Azarenka and Barbora Krejcikova scoring wins, along with Maria Sakkari, and in the men's, Alexander Zverev won in straight sets. The match of the day was the nail-biter between 18-year-old Carlos Alcaraz and Matteo Berrettini, who ended up winning 7-6 in the fifth. And at 12:15 a.m., Rafa Nadal closed out Karen Khachanov 6-3, 6-2, 3-6, 6-1. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. And that wraps up the January 21st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.